Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. We're 2 days away from our new year. And actually, today is Tuesday, December 30th, and it's my mother's birthday. She turned 70 and is just as beautiful as she has always been. Happy birthday, Mom. And so I wanted to first start off by letting everyone know that I am happy to be back and airing the show for this year. This whole year has been quite a whirlwind. There's quite a bit that's gone on. Last year, I started the show, and with just, I think it was 10 shows, we had 21,000 listeners. So I wanted to do at least a show this year, and we are excited to be launching a lineup, exciting lineup of shows and speakers and interviewees for next year, which is in 2 days. So again, this is Maggie DeVera with my show Rendezvous with Maggie, and I am excited to launch the new year. The topic of our show for this show is creating a new and exciting year ahead, picking up the pieces and moving on. So stay tuned, and we will begin shortly.
Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
All right, my family and friends and listeners, who are also my family and friends, I would consider. And I also want to make a special shout out to my baby niece, Samira DeVera Siefker, who is listening, my 8-year-old precious baby girl. She's excited to be up this late. She's spending the weekend, and so she's listening to the show in another room. So I promised her I would mention her name. Anyway, my dears, you know, this year I wanted to do a show on talking about creating new and exciting stuff for next year, but also recognizing the challenges and the pain and the struggles that we go through as well. And, you know, I have this list of stuff that I accomplished and that I'm pretty proud of and feel that I can definitely benefit others with these accomplishments or be able to help others, as well as knowing that much of these accomplishments have also come from learning from struggles and becoming stronger from struggles and challenges. There's definitely a lot of that, and I'm very blessed to have wonderful people in my life, my family, my dad and my mom, and my best friends, and the loves that are in my life, and who support me and give me the wisdom, guidance, and even challenges to get me to think outside the box, or to get me to think. And so, despite the fact that I can say that there's a lot of great things that I've accomplished and have gone through, and I don't really dwell or discuss too much on the negatives, I want to acknowledge that, well, I don't know if the right word is acknowledge, but I want it to be known that I'm sensitive and aware of many of the things in life that is not so positive. I myself deal with issues that can be overwhelming and stressful and can create much sadness and even depression. And, you know, we're human. We all will go through challenging stuff. And then it doesn't help that I'm a Scorpio, where I feel things much more intensely and passionately than I would probably want to. Well, no, I'll take that. I'll appreciate that as a good thing as well. Because so much of life is about perspective, and it's relative. And so how we think about things can make the biggest difference. So there are so many things that I can look back in life. And I say, I'm going to be talking quite a bit of probably about myself. And it's not about, it's not because I want to just talk about myself, but I'm hoping that it can be a way of giving some specific examples or help inspire or provide some ways of thinking of things that may be different from what you're going through. So please forgive that if it sounds like I'm talking a bit too much about examples of myself, but that's the reason why. And so what I was saying is, you know, going back as far as I can remember, things that have been very painful and even what I could be considered traumatizing. You know, I look back on everything now, and when I put it into perspective, I think about the fact that I really couldn't be who I am today and do what I do if I hadn't gone through that. And it was really hard while going through this stuff. I became a person or an adolescent or whatever, young adult, that I really didn't like. But, you know, in order to appreciate the light, you have to go through the dark. And I have to say that although life is full of, you know, the positive and negatives, life can be much more positive and filled with more light if we want that, or if we put our focus on that. And that's not to say that we ignore or avoid or forget the challenges. Because if anything, what I say to that is honor those times. Hold those times very special, the challenging times, the hurtful times, because that's what got you stronger. You wouldn't be around today if you weren't strong enough to get through the hard times. And I can say that. I have dealt with multiple suicides. I started off early in my career working at suicide prevention at 19 and suicide prevention hotlines, and have unfortunately dealt with the issue of suicide even during my childhood and with my family. So I don't say it lightly when I say that the fact that you are still around, that we who are still here, that didn't take the road of ending everything by our own hands. It's a very powerful thing that you are still here, that you've gone through hard times. There were times in life where I myself didn't think that I could get through it, or if I thought I didn't want to go through it. And because of that, I now often say to myself and truly believe the mantra of my mantra of that which does not kill us only makes us stronger, right? Now, there's a difference between being stronger in a more positive way or being stronger in a hardened, negative, jaded way. And I myself have decided to live my life in a way that will be as positive and as comfortable and as loving as possible. And that, again, does not mean that I'm not cognizant of the fact that life can get challenging. You know, there's this saying, and I think I've said this several times in past shows, I had read the first few sentences of the book, The Road Less Traveled. I read this in my early 20s, and it starts off saying something like, you know, life is hard. And once you accept that life is hard, it becomes a little easier. And I have to say that that's true for myself. You know, I have committed my life to a work of helping others and supporting others. I'm a therapist. I work in the healing and helping profession. I have a nonprofit organization that does the same thing. And despite the fact that I know so many tools and skills and secrets of how to overcome challenges and heal and grow, that does not excuse me from going through the human emotions and challenges of life as well. The difference is that when we have the skills and tools and the knowledge and the drive or desire to heal, we are more apt to do so. And I don't know if that's going to make sense. I hope to put this in perspective. You know, there's the difference. Oh, you know what? There was this wonderful saying. It was, I'm going to look for it while I'm talking. I hope I'm not too distracted. But, you know, wherever you focus, whatever your focus is, that is what you will manifest. And so, you know, that's kind of a known thing. Everyone talks about the what you're manifesting in life or how to manifest things in life. And so there is much credence to the fact that whatever you focus on is most likely what you will be bringing into your life. Now, I don't like to say things are kind of just that easy or it's just that cut and dry, because you know, we can keep focusing on the fact that we want to be a billionaire and wanting it, and then, you know, by the time we're kind of ready to meet our maker, we're wondering why we haven't manifested being our billions, when they say the art of manifesting is to want it. But there's far more than that. You know, I always say it's important to know what you want. You really have to know what you want. Know what you want and know what you need. But with that, you have to feel it. You have to envision it. You have to really believe that it can happen. And those elements are important so that you can actually start putting things in place to start working towards it, because we have to work towards it. You know, there's that joke about the lottery ticket, and which is funny because I'll share in a second, but that joke about someone kept praying that they would win the lottery, and then when they died, they met with God, and they said to God, you know, I don't understand. I prayed and prayed to win the lottery, and you never let me win the lottery. And God said, well, yeah, you never bought a lottery ticket. And the funny thing about this, which was I was about to say a second ago, is that I told that to my mother, and she was so shocked in hearing that, because apparently she was guilty of the same thing. She said that she has always prayed to win the lottery, and she was so frustrated and disappointed that it wasn't happening. And sure enough, it's because she never bought a lottery ticket. So, again, the reason I'm mentioning that is because it's important that when you want something, you know, first I tell all my clients or anyone that I'm close to or helping or working with, and I do this myself, is make a list of what you want and what you need, and then envision it and feel it. And I'm big on prayer. I cannot say enough of how important prayer is. Prayer or meditation. Actually, there's been many studies that have shown that prayer and meditation actually creates a significant change in your brain functioning for healing or how can I say? Well, we'll just say healing. But there is a significant change during prayer and meditation. And so that's very important. Praying for it and working for it. And then the important parts after that is that you really pay attention, because some people are so focused on what isn't happening yet that they're missing all the stuff that is happening. And that is a complete waste, because sometimes things happen in baby steps. So allow the baby steps and allow yourself to take baby steps. You know, if you want to make $1 million, be proud of the fact that you may have saved a couple of hundred in a month or two or whatever. Just appreciate the difference and the positive things that are happening rather than focusing on the negative. So going back to appreciating, you know, last year was starting, and I went through quite a bit of stuff last year. We had a lot of changes. Our nonprofit kept losing a lot of funding, and I was feeling so horrible about so many of the clients and those we were helping that were losing our services, and then the stresses of trying to keep things afloat and my own financial challenges. I was just extremely overwhelmed, and then it affected my health, and that became extremely overwhelming. And so there were just quite a few things. And I started to just search for things to try and feel better. And I have my list of go-tos or that have helped improve things or help me heal or help me get through stuff. You know, sometimes some of it helps, sometimes nothing helps at the time. So as I was trying to find new things that could help, because nothing that I was usually doing or familiar with was helping, I found a book, and it's actually called The Magic. And it was an intensive boot camp of how to restructure your brain to just learn how to live in gratitude. And at first when I read it, I thought, God, this is so hokey. And I was flipping through it, and I thought, oh, this, you know, this is typical stuff. And then I thought, you know, what's there to lose? So I think there was 28 days of, you do a chapter a day, and it encompasses a bunch of lists and finding, you know, making lists of certain things that to focus on, to be grateful for. And I really have to admit that I couldn't stand it at the time, especially when I was dealing with so many stresses and overwhelmed and dealing with health issues. And so regardless of how much I wanted to feel better, just I was physically, emotionally, mentally drained. And so even trying to do extra stuff of what I had to do on a daily basis was overwhelming. But I made myself do it, and it probably took an extra 30 minutes a day. It could have taken longer if I wanted to, but I just kind of kept it short. And like I said, while I was going through it, I was just not crazy about it at all. And it was this constant thing of, I appreciate this and I appreciate that. And on top of another list of appreciation and another list of appreciations. And but then, lo and behold, at the end of the 28 days, I was on such a high. I was appreciating everything that I would never, ever think that I could appreciate. I received a notice on from San Francisco County. I'm a therapist provider for San Francisco County and accept Medi-Cal clients, and they wanted to do a Medi-Cal audit, and which they do for all providers. They do that with all providers that are with San Francisco County. And that was just, on top of all the stuff that I had dealt with the year before, I was just stressing. Like, oh my gosh, what if this happens and what if that happens? And I had those initial thoughts, and fortunately, I had just finished that whole magic boot camp. And I was able to reframe reconstruct how I thought of everything. So even when I would write the word audit, I would write something on my calendar like appointment for wonderful audit or scheduled the time to speak to the auditor, and I wrote something like looking forward to speaking to the auditor. Whatever I could do to just change the energy of what could be considered so stressful and overwhelming. And I mean, that's just one small example. I was doing that throughout the year. And you know, it didn't mean that things weren't challenging or hard work to get there, but I was told that after the auditor told me that my work was so impressive and had a lot of compliments. I told her what I did in order to stay positive about the audit. I have to say, I challenged myself quite a bit for that, because it was a very stressful thought to begin with. Someone who was going to come in and look through all my clients' files, and so that was great. Shortly after, I took on the challenge of becoming a foster parent for a program that was still very new. They asked me to consider taking on the role of a foster parent for a new program that was for what they would consider the most challenging foster kids in the system in Santa Clara County. And again, I did a lot of reconstructing my thoughts of how I would think of things. And anyway, so there have been quite a bit of challenges that have happened. And it was a wonderful experience to see how well it worked when you would really try and focus on the positives of the experience, although being very realistic of what it entailed or what could come through. And at the end of the day, when I would think, what if everything is bad? What if things fail? I would put in my mind, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because I'm going to make it okay. And I am still at a place of believing that the things that may come my way may still be challenging, and I'm hoping that things will get better, will become better despite how challenging they are. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't, I'm going to be okay because I will make it okay. Or I'll shift gears. There's too many things in this world that we can explore, or we can shift into, or we can turn our focus towards to create new things or fun things or loving things or meaningful things. I have dedicated my life to living a life of fulfilling, meaningful experiences of depth. And that includes the people in my life, the things that I do, the loving experiences that I have and share. And that's also in keeping in mind that I'm not always going to be the best or even be at a acceptable percentage of functioning all the time, because I'm human and I know my own patterns of sometimes taking on so much and then needing to just rest and I've always, my best friend has teased me about that throughout life. And there are just really times where I will crash and burn. And I don't know, for the longest time I kept thinking, maybe there's, you know, that's something that I need to change. There's something I need to change. But as I get older, I'm starting to realize that maybe it's not so bad. Because even though I crash and burn at times, all the stuff that I'm able to accomplish and experience and live through while I am, I have an abundance of energy, is a wonderful thing. They're things that my best friend would say to me, you know, if I didn't know who you are and what your life was about and I wasn't around, I would probably think that much of what you tell me or what your life is about is BS. Because I've just kind of experienced a lot of stuff. And but she says, you know, I'm around, so I know it's all true. So what I'm hoping for is that everyone gets to a point of working towards a very fulfilling, positive, loving life. Because I believe that when we're feeling good, then our energy is so positive. And that affects other people's energy. And the accumulation of all of this positive energy really does make positive changes in our community, in our society, and of course, you know, just flowing throughout the world. And we're even seeing shifts now. People are becoming more cognizant and sensitive and aware about our environment and spirituality and important issues. That's not to say that there are still negative things in the world. That's there. And again, I say, unfortunately, sometimes the dark needs to exist in order for us to really appreciate and realize the light, the positive stuff. So, again, going back to appreciations, I think it is one of the most important things in life that we can find things to appreciate, things in what we see in others, in what we see in the world, in what we see in ourselves, and with that, I want to say, aside from appreciating the positives, that we can also appreciate the negatives that have allowed us to be in a better place or better people. Or if we haven't reached that place yet of thinking that we are in a better place or that we're better people, that allow it to motivate us to be more positive, to be stronger. You know, I constantly in my work deal with people who are very traumatized or dealing with a lack of confidence or low self-worth or low self-esteem. And it's very understandable given the things that they had gone through. I mean, I could have stayed in that place myself in life. But the great thing is that so much of our life and how we live our life is a matter of perspective, right? So if we constantly dwell on the, I can't do this, or, you know, the poor me's, or no one's going to treat me right, or anytime I do something good, or anytime something good happens, anytime something good happens, something bad's always going to happen. That always happens to me, no matter what. I'm cursed, or I just have bad luck. Well, the reality is, that's life. Life is, anytime something good will happen, bad things will happen. Anytime something bad will happen, something good will happen, because life is full of ups and downs. It's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's good, it's good, it's good. Who knows what pattern it's going to take? But that's just life, because we don't have full control of other people, of the world. We not always have full control of ourselves. The hope is that we can work towards controlling more. You know, I'm big on the control that I do have is who I surround myself with, whom I surround myself with most of the time, or at least during my personal time. I always say birds of a feather flock together, and if you see the people who are closest to me, there is the common thread of very loving, compassionate, considerate, thoughtful, intelligent, spiritual people who care about others, and who want to live a fulfilling life, and who work hard. And you know, even the times where I'm not at my best, and I'm not at the peak of me believing that things are always going to be great, I have my go-to people who I know will help snap me back. And that can happen to us. You know, the times that can be challenging, that could be, and I've discussed this in the past shows, it can be due to stressors in life, losses, financial struggles, relationship issues, hormonal issues, biological issues, or physiological issues. It can be a number of things. And, you know, I'm not one to judge why people are the way they are. And as I tell all my clients and anyone that I'm close to, you know, you can tell me why you're the way you are. If they're going through negative stuff or doing negative things, I always say, you can tell me why you're the way you are, and I could probably give you 100 more reasons why you are the way you are, but that doesn't make it okay. So it's important that we decide that we want to have things better, that we want to have a better life, that we want to have a better future, regardless of the challenges that we've had in our life, regardless of the pain and the hurt and the trauma and the things that compromised our self-esteem or our self-worth or our self-confidence, because our future doesn't have to be dependent on that. Our present and moving forward towards our future is what we have the gift of being able to create. You know, my life is not the same as it was last year, and last year was definitely better than 10 years ago, and 10 years ago was definitely better from when I was a kid. So believe that things get better. Believing and working towards it, and then looking for and appreciating the good stuff is what's necessary. Being around the people who can support you, who can be real with you, but support you, is important. Putting yourself in positive environments. And sometimes that's not always the case, but if you have some control in being able to do that with social situations or with friends or with family members, then do it. You know, I also say it's very important that we try to live a life of integrity, so that despite how challenging that life can be, you can be proud of who you are. You know, every day, it doesn't mean that I don't go through challenges, because like I said, I do. I get up in the morning and I first start off saying my prayers of just thanks. And I thank God and for what I have been blessed with and the blessings that are going to come. I say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think about the type of person that I am proud of becoming. And I'm still working towards, you know, we're all still a work in progress, right? I think it's important to be very truthful, being truthful and honest to yourself and to others. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to lie. It's just so easy to lie through life, to lie to ourselves, to lie to each other. We don't want to hurt someone. We don't want to get in trouble. It's a sticky situation. We're trying to be sensitive. But the reality is, when you deceive or you're just not honest, you kind of create the sense of distrust towards the world, because you know that you lie, and so then you think, well, other people lie, and you just go through life distrusting. And you know, I was probably one of the most manipulative, deceiving adolescents that I knew, and many things in life had culminated to where in my early adulthood I had hated what life was like, and you know, I can give very good reasons of why I was the way I was, or why I turned out that way in a negative way. But it still didn't prevent me from getting into an early adult life that I couldn't be proud of. And so when I had made the decision of wanting to have that change, then I did. And I made a decision to become completely honest, and it was probably one of the best gifts that I gave myself in life. If you can hold on one moment, I'm going to have to extend this time for a bit. Give me 1 second. I'm doing something electronically. And also, please excuse some of the technical mishaps earlier. It was... I'm still getting back into the swing of things. Hold on. Now I think that... Well, you know, unfortunately, I am not going to be able to extend this show unless I figure it out in the next 30 seconds. But what I will do is I will do a part two of this show probably in the next week. I'm sorry that it's gotten to this point. But, let's see. But if you tune in, and I'll send an announcement out, we will continue the show probably tomorrow, or at least sometime this week. Tune back in on the website, and it'll show you how. But for now, please know that I wish you the happiest of New Year's, creating a wonderful future ahead, taking pride and respecting yourself for surviving through the very hard times. You deserve a wonderful year. You deserve a wonderful life. And pray. I will say the most important thing that's gotten in my life is my spirituality and God's guidance. God bless.